We're discussing here 2008 on the Puri beach, Japa meditations, and we're on page 31. And Radha Vallabhadas, he gives three parts to reform Japa. We want to improve our Japa, reform our Japa. There's three parts. First, we should spend one week observing our Japa. It's the idea of reform. It's called Japa reform. We want to reform. Reform means to improve. So you can't improve something unless you recognize the need for improvement. Right? If you think everything is fine, then you won't try to reform or improve. So for the first week, because we want to change our habits, our chanting maybe isn't very good, and we want to improve the quality of our chanting, the quantity and the quality. So the first step of the reform is the first principle of changing a habit is to become conscious of your practice and determine what most needs to be reformed. You'll see many bad habits, but to make the best use of your energy, it's important to focus on just one or two key habits at a time. If we try to change all our bad habits, we're going to fall on our face and wind up where you started. So one has to be thoughtful in this practice of changing habit. So the first week we spend in observation. We observe our chanting of Japa. What is the quality of our chanting? Are we chanting with attention? Are we chanting with feeling? Are we distracted when we chant? Are we finishing our rounds? Are they dragging out throughout the whole day? How is our chanting? So then the second part of Japa reform is to spend the second week you spend on changing the habit you have chosen. So first you make observation, then sankalpa. Sankalpa means a resolution. That yes, I recognize that I'm not chanting very attentively. So I make a resolution to chant with great attention, with more concentration. So then we meditate. The second week you spend meditating on changing the habit you have chosen. And the way we meditate is by making a regular prayer. It can be something like this. Krishna, this is the change I will make. And this could apply to anything, any type of behavior pattern. So we pray. So the first week we observe the problem that we're facing in our japa or in our practice. And then the second week we make a resolution that I have to change this. I have to improve this. Krishna, please. I'm not chanting very attentively. So Krishna, please, I am making a resolution, a sankalpa, that from now on I must chant my rounds very attentively. Really focus and concentrate. Or any type of other behavior we want to change. Krishna, this is the change I will make. I will do this, or I am doing this. You then conclude your prayer to Krishna by saying, Krishna, please help me. In other words, first we make a sankalpa. Krishna, I will do this. I will chant. From now on, I will chant my rounds with great concentration and great attention. I won't let my mind be distracted. I won't listen to my mind. And then that's our determination. Then we say, but actually, Krishna, please help me. Krishna, please help me do this. I'm very confident and very bold that I can do this. But actually, I can't do this without your help. Without your mercy. At this time, during the second week, when you make your sankalpa, it's important not to try to change anything. First, develop internal momentum. That's essential for effective long-term habit change. So the first week you observe, then the second week you make a sankalpa. And you just keep meditating on your sankalpa. Yes, Krishna, I have to do this. I must do this. I will do this. I have to chant with attention. I will chant with attention. I must do it, I will do it, and Krishna, please help me to do it, to chant with attention. So we just meditate on that for 1 week, over and over again. So, in other words, don't actually try try to chant with attention. Just pray for 1 week or 1 month, if there's like a month. Without some internal strength built on prayer, the old habits will gradually creep in. This is a very, very good psychological discussion here about the mind. Because this person studies some courses and habit changing. So the habits, we are creatures of habit. We become habituated to do certain things, and then we like the things that we do, and then we do them over and over again because they give us some pleasure. We actually like to space out when we chant. It's easy. It's easier than concentrating. It's hard work to control the mind. It's hard work to concentrate. So that's why you have to develop internal momentum. You get the speed, you get the determination, the sankalpa developed in the mind. So to have long-term habit change. In other words, we want to change our bad habit once and for all. So that from this day forward that we're always chanting with attention and never being distracted or whatever behavior we want to do, and never slip back into the wrong chanting or the wrong behavior, wrong habit. So it's making a new habit. It's like samskara. It's actually making new samskaras in the chitta, in the consciousness. So he's very interesting. He says, without internal strength, how do we develop internal strength to fulfill our sankalpa? How do we develop that internal strength? Well, he's saying that we pray to Krishna, please help me. And then, so without internal strength, which is built on prayer, the old habits will gradually creep in. So we get internal strength by praying. So he's saying 1 week we just try to cultivate. I want to do this. And every day, yes, I want to do this. Yes, I want to do this. I have to do this. I want to do this. I have to do this. I must do this. I will do this. Krishna, please help me to do it. Then every day you state your sankalpa, yes. And you build this strength for 1 week or 2 weeks. This is the system of changing habits. First, observation. And then develop the internal momentum with repetition of your sankalpa, repetition of the resolution or change of habit that we want to implement, and then prayer, repeatedly praying. So in order to really break a habit, we have to build up some momentum, thinking, okay, I'm really going to change this. This is going to happen. On the 1st of July, I'm going to stop this habit. Amazing, huh? On the 1st of the year, let's give us 2000, since the new year is coming up, we can make a... On January 1st, 2009, I'm going to stop this bad habit of falling asleep when I chant japa, of being attentive. It's a nice thing. But this is all going on for 1 week or a couple of weeks. You just build up the I must do this. I have to do this. I will do this. Krishna, please help me. On the first of the year, this is my new behavior. I'm going to do this. And I'm not going to go back again to my bad habit, no matter what. So you build up that strength, inner strength. So this is the thought, okay, Krishna, I'm really going to change this. This is going to happen. I'm going to stop this habit on the first of the year, 2009. So by spending a week or even longer seriously meditating on this change, you become empowered to follow your convictions for transformation. Who gives you the power? Krishna. Yeah, because you're sincere. Tesham sadata yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. So someone is actually, priti means sincerity. Priti means love. If someone is a loving person or has love for another person, then they're very sincere about that person. They're very sincere in how they treat that person and how they deal with that person. So if we're and we have love for Krishna, then we're very sincere about our relationship. And we try to improve. Then Krishna gives that buddhi. Buddhi, he says, Tesham Satata Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam. Bhajata means effort. Cheshtata. Cheshtatam means efforts or activities of sincerity, priti. Sincerity is one aspect of love. Someone loves someone, then they're very sincere. So we're trying to love Krishna, so we're sincere. Yes, Krishna, I sincerely want to improve my japa. I must do that. I have to chant now, from now on. So then Krishna says, oh, you're so sincere. I'll give you the intelligence. Intelligence is a type of power. It says you get empowered. It says by seriously meditating for 1 week or two or whatever it takes on the change, then you become empowered to follow your convictions for transformation. Means you become empowered to implement your change, to make it solid without wavering or without falling, slipping back to the bad habits. It is not that you have to recite your prayer during japa, this prayer for improvement. Habit transformation experts say that the most powerful time to meditate and pray for transformation is right before you go to sleep and immediately when you wake up, or before a regular activity like eating. Before you start chanting japa, you say, oh Krishna, yesterday my rounds were all spaced out, my mind was going everywhere. Today, Krishna, this is my new habit. I want to chant with full concentration and full attention. And so now, Krishna, please, I'm about to start. Please help me to be fully attentive and absorbed in your holy name. So for a week or two, I make a prayer for reformation, at least at those times. So his prayer for reformation, oh my dear Lord Krishna, please help me. I want to change my bad habit. So he makes his prayer before he takes rest at night. Because it's, you know, a little bit quiet time. And then when he wakes up, he's fresh. And he wakes up, he says, oh Krishna, it's a new day. It's a new beginning. It's like a pralaya. When I sleep, it's like partial devastation. When I wake up, again, creation. And when I die, it's complete devastation. So every day we're dying and taking rebirth. Right? So each day is a new day to be a new person, turn a new leaf, start a new path, implement a new habit. Just because every day before this and every year before this I had bad habits and bad japa, it doesn't mean it has to go on forever. And make a firm sankalpa. And you meditate on that for a week or two. And you say, Krishna, I have to do this. I want to chant properly with attention, concentration, and attraction to your holy name. And then you say that when you wake up. Yes, Krishna, tomorrow when you go to sleep, Krishna, tomorrow when I chant. So then you build up momentum. I'm telling you, but you're not listening. One bad habit is to always chant inattentively. That's a habit. Habit reformation is that in terms of karmis, they overeat. Every time I sit down to eat, I eat too much. Now that's why I'm fat. It's my habit. When I sit down, I can't stop eating. I have a habit. I just can't stop. So people become fat. It's a bad habit. I know I should stop, but once I start, I can't stop. That was a lack of mental control. But it means it's a bad habit. My bad habit is I always talk back to my husband. I always slap my wife when she... Whatever. So many habits we have. But we have to think of it in terms of Krishna consciousness. My bad habit is when I sit down to chant, I fall asleep. Or my bad habit is when I hear Hare Katha, I fall asleep. Whatever, it's a habit. It doesn't have to be that way. You'll be wide awake. So then you pray, and then you say, yes, Krishna, from now on, whenever I sit down for Hare Katha, I'm going to be wide awake, and if I feel sleepy, I'm going to stand up. I'm not going to surrender and just fall asleep. That's terrible. It's a bad habit I have. I fall asleep, and I feel okay about it. I don't feel that it's bad. So we're just speaking now of this. I have a bad habit that I can't control my tongue. As soon as something happens and I get angry, I yell at the devotees. I can't control my anger. It's a bad habit. It's an imperfection. Some people, So we pray. This I have to change this habit. Self-improvement. So these are the times, these are prayer times. I mean, these are obvious prayer times. Before you take rest, when you wake up, when you're in the evening, when you're a little bit quiet, finish the day. Maybe you're in a mood of repentance or a mood of reflection. Krishna, this day was, please. Then you make your vow and your prayer at the time of taking rest. I want to change this habit. Please help me. Then when you wake up, say, all right, today I'm going to act correctly. Today I'm going to chant correctly. This is my new habit, my new vow, my new sankalpa. Or the time before you begin the activity, before you begin japa or begin eating. Oh, now I'm going to have a conversation with my wife. We're going to discuss some serious matters. And every time I talk with my wife, we always end up having a fight. And I always end up yelling at her. And then I feel bad for days and she feels bad. And it's just because I can't control my anger. So now we're going to, this morning when we had this meeting, I'm going to change my habit. I'm going to keep cool. You know, you see what I'm saying? So every day I make a prayer for chanting better japa. This is my daily practice. Thus, I have incorporated into my day the simple prayer. Here's the prayer. Oh, dear, my dear Lord Krishna, I will always chant my rounds in a mood of surrender. Krishna, please help me to chant this way, in a mood of complete dependence and surrender to the holy name. I found that by doing this prayer during the day, I am much more focused on japa in the morning, as its importance has already been internalized. So in other words, he's leading up, like tomorrow, all right, I finished today's japa. Now throughout the day I'm doing whatever I'm doing in my particular position as housewife or working or whatever. But I'm always thinking my japa. Well, tomorrow when I chant, I'm going to chant in a mood of surrender. Tomorrow when I chant, and an hour later, tomorrow when I chant my japa, I'm going to chant in a mood of surrender. And fully depending on Krishna's holy name. So that's like you're building. He said this is an internal build-up. And then again, before you take rest, Krishna, tomorrow, in 6 hours, I'll begin my japa again. My japa time will be there. Because everybody has set times. So then when he wakes up, Krishna, now it's there. It's almost time. I'm about to meet my beloved. Now I better get all dressed up. And now is the acid test. Now I'm going to pick up my beads. Oh, Krishna, now I've been building up for this and internalizing this and meditating this and preparing myself mentally. I've been preparing myself mentally. As soon as we finish japa, we start preparing ourselves mentally for 24 hours till we start again. But, we have to do this on an individual basis. Prabhupada said we have to fly our own plane. You know, you track this on the computer. Now they have computerized flying and everything. You practice on a computer, then the teacher shows you how to fly a plane. Then he says, okay, here's your solo. Here's your test. Take the baby up. And then you're on the ground in the watchtower, or the air control tower. You have to have all your terms correct. The teacher, the pilot, the flight trainer teacher, he's sitting in the air control tower. It's called traffic control tower. He's sitting there watching, and he's talking to him with the radio. Okay, take it up to 20,000 feet. All right, now do a spin, and then he turn left, turn right. He's telling him what to do. Now climb, now dive, now cut your engines, and do free fall. When you have a Cessna, twin Cub, cut off the engines and do free fall. And then the plane just goes like this, and then you cut on the engines, turn on the engines. Hopefully they work, and then you pull out of the free fall. Just to test your nerves and test. So the teacher will test you in different ways. You can sit a few times a day to meditate on your transformation. By thinking about the past and envisioning yourself in the way you want to be now. Now, so that's all the second stage. It's not even the third stage. The first stage of changing habits is to observe your bad habit. That's for a week. The second stage is to make a sankalpa. Of what habit, how you want to change that habit. What improvement do you want to make or see in yourself, in your own behavior, in your own japa or whatever, in terms of japa. And that goes on, and there's this, you're praying in the morning when you wake up, you're praying in the evening. before you take rest, and before the activity you pray, and throughout the day you sit down a few times and meditate. This is the change I want to do. I have to do this. I must do this. Please help me, Krishna. This is all the internal and mental preparation. Now, the third stage is putting it into practice. Putting your habit change into practice. This is the third stage of habit reformation. It's a stage of actual practice when you finally adopt your habit without fail. So in the second stage, you're meditating, you're praying, and you're trying to adopt that new habit and practice in that new way, but you're slipping back to your old habit. And you're trying and you're slipping back to your old habit. You're trying to chant attentively. And then finally you get to a point where you're solid. They say you have to do something. This Karmi psychologists who develop all these things, they say you have to do something for 30 days without fail to get a solid habit. Then that habit is yours. It's your habit. It's your way of life. It's the new you. So for 30 days, you have to chant attentively. Every day you struggle. No, I have to chant attentively. And then the next day, I chanted attentively with great concentration today. And then you finish a job, and then for 24 hours, you're praying and meditating. Yes, I have to do it again tomorrow. Then again the next day. And after, if you can do that, which is not easy, if you can do that for 30 days, then you'll always be an attentive chanter. Or maybe it takes longer if it's a really bad habit. But it has to be done without fail in order to give a strong imprint in the psyche of a fixed habit. In other words, every day, you can't like 25 days chant attentively, then 3 or 4 days space out. Every day, 30 days. And they say it's like some magic number. 30 days and then ding. And then it's like you practice driving, and finally you got it down, and then for the rest of your life you're driving the car, right? You don't like, where's first gear, where's second gear? You know, it's like you're sleeping, you're eating and driving, sleeping and driving, talking to your friend, isn't it? It's automatic. So attentive chanting becomes, every time you sit down, it's just like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You're just like, you're locked in. So the third stage is implementing your sankalpa. Implementing and following your plan. There are five quantitative changes to observe. First, the number of rounds you chant. That's quantity. 16 a day or 17, 18. The number chanted without interruption. Like you chant one, two rounds. Oh, I have to answer the phone. Oh, I have to do this. Oh, I have to do that. I have to go here. I have to go there. The number of rounds you chant before your day starts. Right? Another, before you go to work and you get up early, then you chant, and then you chant your 16 rounds before you take breakfast. Like today, before Mangalartik, we had 18 rounds done. So, this is quantity changes. The number of rounds you chant, the number chanted without interruption, the number of rounds you chant before your day starts, the time you go to bed at night, and finally, your posture. Arivo. I don't know about the quantity, but like how many, I guess quantity means how many rounds did you sit up straight? Half a round? One round? No rounds? That's quantity. Now these are changes. We're talking about habits. What's an example of a bad habit? Bad habit is that I always chant a couple rounds and I go do all my things, and I put off my rounds till later. So that's a bad habit, because later rounds are spaced out. So then I have to make a new habit. Oh, I have to get up earlier. I have to take rest earlier. Get up earlier and finish. I want to finish 16 rounds, at least 16 rounds before I send the kids to school and I go to work, this, that, the other thing. Right? Or another bad habit is, whenever I sit down to chant jap, I always slouch, I lean against the wall. It's not a good habit. Sit properly. Prabhupada is telling posture. He's speaking about posture. Sit properly, Baba. You should be awake while you're chanting. If you can be awake while walking, then be awake. You can also sleepwalk. If you can be awake by sitting, then sit. If you can lie down and chant your rounds, then do that. But be awake. Be fully conscious, fully attentive, fully absorbed. Whether you do that by walking or by lying down or by sitting. But generally, we sit down next to Tulsi or next to some advanced devotees and or the Shalagram or Thakurji deity, and we chant, sitting straight. It's like a habit. So that's a bad habit. Oh, Krishna, so then at night before I take rest, so tomorrow when I chant chapa, I have to sit straight. Then we wake up, oh, now I'm going to chant chapa. Then we sit down and chant chapa, oh, I have to sit straight. I made a resolution. I made a sankalpa. Krishna, please help me do this because I'm a lazy bum. And but I my guru sits, Bhakti Sanatha sat straight, Prabhupada sat straight. My guru said, this is a SSC parampara, Straight Sitters Club parampara. Where do you find in our parampara nobody not sitting straight? Jagannath Das Babaji, but he's 150. So when you're 150 years old, then you can slouch a little bit. So we're talking about reforming our habits. Changing habits, reforming habits. And it's three parts. One is to spend time a week or two observing the bad habit of chanting, whatever our bad habits are in sadhana. Then make a sankalpa and just meditate on that sankalpa for 1 or 2 weeks. I will do this, I must do this, Krishna, please help me to do this. And before we take rest, we meditate on that sankalpa, we repeat that prayer, oh Krishna, tomorrow when I chant japa, I want to chant with full concentration, full attention and absorption, please help me. So then the third step is to implement it, to actually chant. Well, today I'm going to chant with full concentration and full absorption, and somehow we do that one day. And then if we do that every day for 30 days in a row, then that will become our fixed habit. We'll chant attentively for the rest of our lives. That's what the premise is. Like we say we have a bad habit, that whenever we sit down to eat, we eat more than we require. We just eat and eat and eat and we can't stop. So it's a bad habit. It's a habit. It's a bad habit. Overeating is a bad habit. We have to control our eating. Udara Pashta Vegam. Controlling the pushing of the belly. Udara. Udara Vegam. So now we already observe this. We already know that tendency in ourselves. Then we make a sankalpa. That from tomorrow, I'm going to be very conscious and careful what I'm eating. And when I know that I'm actually full and had enough, then I'm going to stop. So Krishna, this is my sankalpa. Krishna, please help me to do this. So then we pray to Krishna. So then at night before we take rest, we meditate and repeat this prayer. And the first thing when we wake up in the morning, we repeat this prayer. And then we sit down a few times during the day and meditate. Oh Krishna, I have this bad habit. Help me to implement this new habit of eating balanced, eating properly, not overeating. So this is what he's saying. It's very practical. So then he talked about quantitative changes. There's 5 quantitative changes. The quantity or number of rounds, the number of rounds we chant without interruption. Like oftentimes when I've met advanced devotees, they ask me this question, advanced Vaishnavas. They say, how many you chant your rounds sitting on an asana or do you walk around? I said, no, I sit on an asana. They say, how many rounds can you chant sitting on without a stretch, without moving, sitting on asana? I said, 16. I can sit down and chant 16 without jumping up, or maybe 20. So they say, very good, very good. That's very nice. And many of these advanced devotees, they sit in one asana and chant 64 rounds. And they chant in 4 hours. Many I know sannyasis from Gaudiya Math have been chanting for 30 years. They chant 16 rounds an hour. Obviously, it's manasik japa. And it's very hard to chant manasik also. Proper manasik. So we sit down and chant, and we chant one round. Oh, I have to do this. Oh, I have to do that. Oh, I have to go here. I have to go there. So this means chanchal man. Chanchal man. Mind is jumping. So then body is jumping. So this is a quantity. We should improve the quantity of rounds that we chant one stretch or without interruption and sitting in one place. Then the other quantity, the quantity, how many rounds or what quantity of rounds, how many rounds do I chant before I start the day? Do I only chant four rounds and then I squeeze in a few rounds here and there while I drive the car, while I ride the bus or train, or before I eat or this or that? Like Prabhupada, he told Shruti Kirti a nice system to finish japa. He said, when I was a grihastha, I used to do my japa like this. I would chant four rounds when I got up in the morning. And then I took a sankalpa that before I ate my meals, I would chant another four rounds. So in this way, unless I chanted my four rounds, I couldn't eat. So Prabhupada was very busy with his work. So when he woke up as a grihastha, working man, family man, he chanted four rounds. That was his vow, chant four rounds. Then before breakfast, another four rounds. And before lunch, another four rounds. And before dinner, another four rounds. So that becomes 16 rounds without fail. So this was his habit. This was his sankalpa. So we can increase the quantity of rounds we chant before we start our day. Then the other quantity is the time we go to bed at night. And finally, the quantity of our posture. How we sit. How many rounds do I chant while sitting perfectly straight? Do I chant one round, two rounds, or no rounds? So now the next thing is qualitative change. There's two fundamental mental approaches to qualitative change. One is to focus on being the person hearing the chanting. The other is focusing on being the person that's calling out to the Lord. I believe that in real attentive chanting, you concentrate on both these things. The devotion in which you call the Lord and the quality of the sound vibration coming into the heart through the ears. This is a very analytical point here about quality. So one is that we're chanting, but we're also hearing. We're chanting for the pleasure of Krishna. We're chanting for self-improvement and purification and to please the Lord and become attached to the Lord, become lovers of the Lord. So we're one person that's listening to the chanting, hearing the chanting. So one idea is to concentrate on being the person who's listening to the chanting. I am listening to my chanting. Now the second type of quality is focusing on the person who's chanting, me. I'm listening to this person, me, chanting, and I am that person chanting, like two in one. So focus on the person who's calling out to the Lord. That's me. I'm calling out to the Lord. What is the quality of my calling? What is the quality of my chanting? Is it like, am I following Prabhupada's instruction? Is the quality of my chanting the same type of quality that Prabhupada asked us to produce when chanting? He said that one should chant with this kind of quality. What kind of quality? The quality and the feeling of a child crying for his mother. The genuine crying of a lost child calling for his mother. That's the quality. Feeling helpless, feeling frightened, feeling scared, feeling small, feeling dependent, feeling, empty. Where's my mother? Help, help, help. I'm a little child. I'm only 4 years old. I came to this huge shopping mall with my mother, and she's disappeared into some clothing shop and left me out in the hallway. Where's my mother? There's 150 stores here. Thousands of people, big people going everywhere, and I'm a little four-year-old. So this is a big universe, a big shopping mall called the universe. And we're tiny little devotees in this universe. So we're very insignificant creatures. So we helplessly cry out, "Oh Krishna, please." Finally, he has something called the prayerful quality of chanting Krishna's holy name. The prayer, the prayerful quality. In other words, is our chanting of Krishna's name full of prayers? The quality of prayers. There's a certain feeling and bhav that's mixed into our chanting. Of course, this is one section from our Art of Chanting book also. Prayers and the Holy Name. But he's saying that when I observe when I'm chanting the Holy Name in Japa, how many times I'm actually begging for the Holy Name. And sometimes when I'm listening, I watch how clearly and attentively I'm hearing the Holy Name. So this person is extremely psychological and analytical and introspective about his chanting. Very serious chanter of the Holy Name, Radha Vallabh Das. That is his entry here. He's incorporating some principles of psychology and behavioral improvement. He's a senior brahmachari at the Bhaktivedanta Ashram in 22nd Second Avenue, New York. So he also made a little booklet he called Japa Reform Handbook. So these are some excerpts from that handbook. You can enumerate them. This is some excerpts from Radhanath Swami's entry. Pujyapad Srila Radhanath Swami Ki Jai. When we are chanting the holy names, what is important is our motivation. Because not only do Vaishnavas chant the holy names, but Mayavadis do also. Mahaprabhu teaches that the consciousness of a devotee is nadanam najanam. Essentially, I do not want wealth or the pleasures of the opposite sex. I don't want fame and followers. I don't even want liberation from suffering. My deep desire is only to be a servant of the servant of your servant, unconditionally, birth after birth. So this is our motivation in chanting the holy names. This is, you could say, an elaboration on Prabhupada's initial definition of the holy name. Or let's say mantra artha chintata. It's called mantra artha chintata. The conception or the meaning of the holy name that one holds in his mind while chanting the holy name of the Lord, the Maha Mantra. So, Srila Prabhupada, he gave us a mantra, artha chintata. So, nadanam najanam nasundarim. So what is our motivation when we're chanting? Oh, Krishna, I'm chanting your holy name. Please give me a good wife, give me a good husband. Make my wife peaceful. But he's saying, no, Krishna, Prabhupada, what did Prabhupada tell us? Prabhupada said we should chant the holy name begging, oh, Mother Hara, oh, energy of the Lord, oh, Srimati Radharani, please engage me in the service of Krishna. So what is this? This is Seva Bhav. Prabhupada, from day one, is trying to instill in the mind and hearts of all of his followers, Seva Bhav. Please engage me in service. Daso Smi. Das, Das, Anodas. Naham vipro nacha narapatir napi vaishno na shudro naham varninacha krihapatir no vanashto yatirva kintu prodya nikala paramananda purna britabder gopi bartu padakamalyar das 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 anodas. Mahaprabhu uttered this beautiful prayer every year before the Rath Yatra festival. He would stand before the cart of Jagannath with tears streaming down his face, his hands folded in Anjali, gazing at the beautiful lotus eyes of the Lord. Then he would repeat four different prayers before the start of the Rath Yatra festival. And one of them was this prayer. Then he would say, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Nama. And then this prayer, Gopi Bhartu Padakamalyar Das Das Anadasa. So this is the mood of the followers of Lord Chaitanya. I only want to become a servant of the servant of the servant unconditionally. No payment, no withdrawal, no dividends, no benefits, no vacations, just service. Service, service, and more service. So he goes on, whatever ritual or whatever spiritual act we perform, if this is our consciousness, as Sri Chaitanya has taught, then we can please Chaitanya and Lord Krishna the most and attract his blessings. If we are eager and greedy to serve and please the Lord, then the Lord reciprocates with that eagerness. This is what chanting Hare Krishna actually means. If we're actually chanting Hare Krishna mantra properly, with proper bhav and proper understanding, when we finish chanting our japa, we'll become very enthusiastic to serve, to render service. This is our personal realization. We not only do we become very eager and enthusiastic to serve Krishna and the Vaishnavas when we chant very proper and attentive japa, but we get the ideas how to serve. It's a great magical, like some people, they come, oh Maharaj, can I do some service? Is there any service? You don't even have to ask, because when you're chanting proper japa, Krishna gives all the intelligence. Oh, this service needs to be done. Then you approach and say, oh, I want to do this service. Is it okay? Yes, yes, you do that. That's nice. So then it's coming from within you. Service should arise as a byproduct of inspiration. It's not that you have to, it's not an army where the sergeant orders the private to do some work. This is a devotional exchange between the Lord, the Super Soul, and the Jiva. And the Guru is the via medium between the Super Soul and the Jiva. Atma and Paramatma. So the Guru teaches the devotee how to chant. And then the devotee chants. And when he chants properly, then he gets two things. He gets enthusiasm and eagerness to serve and ideas for service. Of course, if he already has a Guru Agya, an order from his guru, and he already has a particular service, then he'll get enthusiasm and eagerness to perform that service. Not that he lags around and drags around and sags around, but the service lags on, the service drags on, the service sags on. Did you do this service? Oh yeah, we're just now coming. That means that japa is bekar. Bekar japa. So Radhanath Swami, he's sharing, he says that if we are eager and greedy to serve and please the Lord, then the Lord reciprocates with that eagerness. So then the question is, how do we become eager and greedy to serve? Simple. Chant proper rounds. And that enthusiasm, that eagerness, is a difference between a hollow ritual and a genuine act of devotion. Utsaha. Seva utsaha. Enthusiasm to serve the Lord and his devotees, to be a servant of the servant of the servant unconditionally. Not that, well, I'll serve my guru, but I won't serve you. I only serve my guru. I don't serve my guru bhais or my guru bains, my god sisters or my god brothers. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We should try to understand the content and feeling in which the great devotees are offering their prayers to the Lord. We can recite these prayers of the great personalities, and that is very purifying. And it's even more purifying when we actually try to enter into the mood of their prayers. What was enter into the mood of Prabhupada's prayers on the Jaladutta and the prayers of Narottam and Bhaktivinoda Thakur? We should try to understand the content and the feeling in which they are offering their prayers. All these great devotees, all these previous acharyas, they are very eager to access and attain the mercy of the Lord. And they're very eager to give their hearts to the Lord through that activity. That is the content of their genuine prayers. So he's mentioning that this is a way to improve our japa by improving the content of our mentality, improving the quality of our mentality and the quality of our heart. So the quality of our heart will improve by associating with high-class Vaishnavas. So when we read the prayers of the great devotees, we're associating with their hearts. The hearts of the great Vaishnavas, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Narottam, are compressed. The hearts of the great devotees are compressed in their bhajans, and they're expressed in their bhajans. So when we sing the bhajans and meditate on the meanings of these bhajans of the great acharyas, then that compression, that expression of their heart enters into our heart. Those compressed feelings of their hearts are actually expressed through that bhajan. They come in our hearts. And we start to feel something about the content of their heart. And it makes us, we take on those qualities of that bhajan, of that heart, of that Vaishnava. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's qualities, they come in our heart. And we become a different person. We become a genuinely humble person. Not just, yes, yes, I'm humble, but actually genuinely humble in the heart. Because their prayers are full of some dhanya bodhika. Dhanya bodhika means humility and meekness. And that's their hearts. Their hearts are like that. And our hearts are full of pride and righteousness and false prestige. So when we associate with our hearts through their bhajans, then our hearts start to change and start to improve. So that was just a few points from Radhanath Swami's offering. Japa Meditations Ki Jai. Hare Krishna Mahamantra Ki Jai.